I love that part of our faith is just rooted in hope, and that's one of the bedrocks of our faith. I just want to tell you a really quick story about faith and hope. If you don't like sport, I'm really sorry. I'm replacing Dan with a sports analogy, so he's not here at the moment. So years ago, when Man U were about to win the treble, can anyone remember that? 99, big season, wasn't it? So my father-in-law is from Manchester, die-hard Man United fan. But he's also involved in leading the church in Basingstoke at that time. And he arranged to have a church meeting on the night of the European Cup final, which didn't go down well amongst many people in the church. But since he was leading the church meeting, he was a little bit sneaky because he recorded. This is before the days of mobile phones. So he had his wife record the match for him. And they were going to watch the match with all the leaders afterwards. So they're all going to sit in this room and pray and be really godly men and women, but no one was meant to know the score because it was going to be recorded and they're going to watch it afterwards. So the meeting goes on and Dave got one or two people just to secretly give him a little message about the final score secretly. And if anyone knows anything about that match, it is famous for Man U scoring two goals in the last seconds of the game. So all these meetings went on and on and they put the VCR in, this is how old it was, to watch the game. And all then, there's a lot of Man U fans in that room because they're all glory hunters in Basingstoke. And they're there watching it and they're getting nervous and they're sweating because Bayern Munich score and Man U are losing 1-0 and they're playing rubbish football and the game's going on and on and the clock's ticking down and Man U are still losing. But my father-in-law sat there like a Cheshire cat, a big smug look on his face because he knew the final score already. He'd had a little spy come and tell him what the final score was before the VHS went on. He knew that Man U were going to win that match. And they sat all the way through. And what happened? Score and score again. And they win 2-1. And it's remarkable treble. But that's us. We know the final score, don't we? We know the final score. We know the outcome. We're here because we know the outcome. Because we live in faith and hope of something bigger than this. We are eternal people. We're kingdom people. So as Danny comes to share in a moment, that's the background to who we are. We're part of something bigger, and we know the final score. We're not meant to be smug like my father-in-law was about the final score. We still have work to do, and it's good work. But we know the final score. We know that Jesus wins. Amen? Amen. That's something to celebrate every second of every day. So I'm just going to welcome Danny up. Danny and I have got four kids between us this morning, so please help us. We're doing great, we're doing great. I just want to be able to pray for Danny. How are you doing? Great, thank you. Father God, I thank you for Danny. We had an opportunity to pray for him earlier this morning, but I thank you for what you have put on his heart, Lord. What you've put on his heart, and I just pray you will give him the tools to share that powerfully this morning. I pray that we will be challenged through love, though, to extend your kingdom in everything that we do. In the name and power of Jesus, amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Right, this we're going to be looking at Jesus is better. And I was going to put up like a dictionary definition of better, but I thought, actually, that's a really lame thing to do. The kids all know what better means. And I think, children, would you be up for helping the adults understand better? I need three volunteers. And there's only one requirement. For this, you need to either like chocolate or sweets, okay? So three adults, you'll have a chance later. This is for the children. This is for the children. We got keen ones here. Let's go for Sophie, Joss, and Eliza. Yes, brilliant. You come out to the front. Right, I'm going to give each of you something, which can be yours to keep. Right. Now, if you want, you can just have that thing, but I'm going to give each of you the opportunity, if you want, to swap it. So, Sophie, do you want to keep that tiny little packet of sweets, or would you like to swap it for a Twirl bar that has two sticks of Cadbury's Dairy Milk chocolate? Which one would you like? You'd like that one? Okay. Just before you sit down, can you tell me why it was you wanted to swap?
Don't know.
I think the face says it all. That's brilliant. Okay. Now, yes? We'll see. So, Josh, you are a healthy kind of a guy. You can keep that toll bar, or you can swap it for God's own sweets. You can have a whole carrot all to yourself. You want to keep the twirl bar? Okay, and why is it you want to keep the twirl bar?
I like chocolate.
Brilliant, that's great. You can sit down. Right, Eliza, excited. So we've had one swap, one not. So you can keep the tube of Smarties. Do you like Smarties? That's a good start. Or you can swap it for the mystery box. Oh, nobody knows what is in this box. So this is going to be the trickiest of all. What do you think? Would you like to keep the Smarties, or would you like to exchange it for the mystery box of joy? Your dad's happy to take a risk on your behalf. What are you going to do? You're going to keep the Smarties. Okay. Enjoy your Smarties. Oh. What was in the box? What was in the box? If Alex, do you reckon you can tear that open and see what's inside? It was sellotaped by your sister, so you need to really, really go. How about you pull there? There's a gap. And can you show us what's inside? Oh, 4 whisper bars. Can I just say that our children were really hoping that box would not get chosen. But there is grace, isn't there? So, Alex, would you like to present that to Russ and his family and Eliza? Okay, so hopefully that is a good illustration of what better is. When something's better, we want it. So I'm just going to pray for the kids as they go out for their work, and then we will talk a little bit more about Jesus is better. So, Father, thank you that you give us the greatest gift. Jesus, thank you that you are better than anything else. And I pray for our children that they would meet with you this morning, that they would discover that for themselves. And Lord, would you open our hearts to see too. Amen. Okay. Yeah, you can have those later. Do you want to? Amazing, right.
Oh, I should have figured out how to turn this on beforehand.
Brilliant. Okay, does that, have we got sound? Is that coming through? Brilliant. So, Mission Sunday. We are, over the next few Mission Sundays, going to keep revisiting this that we started actually back in November, this idea of living on mission. And we want to focus on 2 parts of what living on mission looks like. So the first being loving Jesus. The idea here is that if we love to talk about what we love. If we love Jesus for ourselves, then we are going to be far more effective missionaries. And everyday missionaries, again, this idea that this isn't something that only the special gifted called people go and do. Actually, all of us are called to be missionaries on some level. We are all called to take the good news. And hopefully this is going to be a time where we can encourage and equip one another to think, well, who are the people I'm already involved with? What are the situations I'm already doing? So this isn't a call for you to go out and start some new thing. This is saying, right where I am, in my family, in my community, in my job, how can I be sharing the glory of Jesus? So the idea is that each time we'll hopefully do a bit of teaching and equipping to help us understand a bit of what that looks like. And then we then get to actually go out for the next 4 weeks and do it. And hopefully then, people will be able to come back and share testimonies. So we really want to be encouraging each other with sharing testimonies. And these don't only need to be the incredible story of God saving your entire workplace. This might be actually, I tried some stuff and I found it really hard and nothing seemed to happen. We want to be honest in our testimonies and encouraging each other, because this, like Russ was saying, we're a family and we want to learn how to walk this journey as a family. So our theme for today, which is predominantly going to be focused on the loving Jesus side of it, is Jesus is better, which I'm hoping elicits a question from you. Yes, better than what? What is Jesus better than? Not the I didn't know he was sick. Thanks, Greg. So this is a passage that I've been coming back to again and again over the years from Philippians 3, where Paul is talking about a lot of the religious credentials he had. But then he says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. So this sentence in the middle, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. So he's saying, compared to knowing Jesus, everything else, no matter how good, seems like rubbish in comparison. Jesus is that good. And Jesus himself doesn't hold back on this. He says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And then Jesus gives this really helpful definition of eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. So we often think of eternal life as something that starts when we die. But Jesus says, no, eternal life is to know me. So that's something that starts right here, right now. Yes, we get to experience it in all of its fullness on that final day and going on. But actually, this is a journey that starts now. We get to begin experiencing eternal life right now. So I'm just going to share a few areas, because I think this is a question that we will spend the rest of our lives digging into. But I just want to share five areas where Jesus is better. So, what rescues and restores you? So this is, what are the things that you turn to when you're struggling? Where do you go when you're tired? When you want to find rest, when you need comfort? So this can be, people turn sometimes to food or drink, comfort eating, drinking to just forget what's going on, or I'm absolutely exhausted. I just want to sit down and watch telly. That's where I get my rest. Maybe your hobbies. So these are the things where at the end of the day you say, I'm absolutely exhausted. I just want to, whatever you would put in that gap there. And sometimes there are things that prevent us from that, where we say, actually, I can't rest yet. I've still got to whatever your task list is. So I want to say that Jesus is better than all of those things. Firstly, he's in control, so he can actually help. A lot of these things that we turn to, they maybe provide a temporary comfort. A lot of the time, it's just a distraction. I was thinking about this. Those days when you're exhausted and you go back and you just watch telly. It hasn't used any energy to watch telly, but it hasn't actually refreshed you. If you're struggling in your situation, it's like you step out, have your distraction time in front of the TV, but then when you go back in, you're still just as worn out and weary as you were before. So it doesn't take anything away from you, but it doesn't refresh you. Whereas in Isaiah, God says, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. So this idea that godly rest actually refreshes us. It doesn't just provide a temporary out from whatever we're going through. Godly rest actually refreshes us, gives us energy, enables us to face the same situation in a better way than we were before. Also, Jesus actually understands my heart. So there are some things where actually my heart needs to be challenged, and I don't always need sympathy. And because Jesus knows me and he loves me, he knows when are the times that I just need comfort and when are the times that he needs to say, actually, you don't need a pity party right now. You don't need people to gather around you and say, there, poor you. You need to stop with whatever unhelpful thing you're letting yourself wallow in. He has that wisdom.
And he is constant and unchanging. So the things that we turn to, sometimes you might find ice cream does the trick one day, next day actually you're just sick of ice cream. It's no good. But Jesus constantly is able to rescue us and restore us. So a second thing, where does your identity come from? So this is about your sense of value, your sense of belonging. Where do I fit in? What is it that makes me matter to anybody else? So we might get this from the affirmation of others. This is a big issue on social media. You know, I present my wonderful view of me and my family and hope that everybody else comments on it and says how wonderful and happy we all are. My achievements, you know, have I been successful this week? Have I been productive? It might be our look. You know, do you get a sense of value because you're looking good today? Your clothes match or they fit you well or whatever it might be. Might be your social status, you know, where you fit in your communities. Do people look to you? Do people depend on you? Do you like that that sense of, yeah, I offer support and I encourage people? So these are the kind of things where you would complete the sentence of, I feel good about myself when, whatever you would put in. But conversely, these are also the things that can drag us down. So what are the things where I feel bad about myself when, you know? If I've no one's commented on my Facebook post, then that indicates that and I'm feeling disappointed or sad by that, then that indicates that I'm getting my value and my affirmation from those things. So what are the things that lift us or drag us down in terms of our view of ourselves? So Jesus is better because his affirmation of us is constant. You know, he says, "You are my precious child." And it's not dependent on our performance. So unlike a lot of the other places that we might get our identity from, our sense of worth doesn't need to go up and down with whether I've performed well, whether people like me, whether I've managed to find the right outfit, whatever it might be. Because actually, Jesus showed his love for me before I'd done anything. And in fact, when I'd already made a mess of most things, that was the point that Jesus loved me. So I don't need to strive anymore to get that affirmation, that sense of identity, because God says, I love you, I chose you. And again, we know this is the God who doesn't need anything. So there are times where people are nice to us and they affirm us because actually they want something in return. We're all a bit needy, and actually having people say nice things to you is good, and sometimes we say nice things to others. Actually, we're not that bothered about that. We just want them to say nice things back to us. But God isn't needy. He doesn't love us because he has to. He loves us because he loves us. You know, so there's a real place of security and affirmation here. Also, God's affirmation of us is unlimited. So that means that we don't need to compete with each other. We don't need to be going, God, do you love me more than this person or that person? You know, if one of my children came to me and said, Dad, do you love me more than any other child? I'd be quite disappointed that they're asking that question and would say, no, I love you all. You know, you're all very different, but I love you all. And it's the same with God. So we don't need to start looking around at others, because again, that can be a problem, but that we compare ourselves with others. And I only feel good about myself if I'm doing better than this person or that person. But actually, if I'm getting my affirmation from God, it doesn't matter what anyone else is doing. I don't need to compete with them. God's not going to run out of love for me because someone down the road is doing amazing things with him. So there's a whole load of striving, worry, and up and down cycle that if we find our affirmation in Jesus, we will find that is a significant benefit. And also, in our society, again, so much comes back to us. You know, me at the center. What do I think of this? How am I feeling in this situation? How does this affect me? If we put Jesus at the center, then we start to get to rejoice at him and at others. And we're free to do that because I'm no longer so focused on myself. And if other people don't like me, hey, that's not the end of the world. You know, obviously, I don't want them to not like me because I'm being an idiot. But if I'm acting how God wants and people don't like me, I can be okay with that. So the third thing, what makes you feel safe? These are our foundations. These are the things that bring us security, the things that bring us peace. These are the things that if we don't have them or there's a risk that they might be taken away, that we start to panic. So this might be our health. It might be our financial stability or having savings in the bank, you know, knowing if something happens, I can pay for this, I can pay for that. It might be in our family. Now, I was just really struck so often when I've chatted to people on the streets and hearing their situation that they've got nobody. And the reason that they're on the streets is that there's nowhere that they can go. And time again, I've just thought, I would never be in that situation because there are so many people who God has put around who would care for me. And if I made all the same mistakes that they did or worse, there are people who would pick me up. But they don't have that. And that's why they've ended up in that situation. But so we can get a lot of strength from our community, the people around us. And a big thing as well is feeling like we're in control. I certainly struggle with not being in control of a situation, not knowing how things are going to pan out or not being able to do anything with it. So I had a hospital appointment yesterday for a scan that I've been waiting for about 6 months. And I left in plenty of time, driving to Oxford, got to Botley, and the traffic just stopped. And I was sitting there thinking, what am I going to do? And suddenly, you know, God kind of reminded me, oh, well, you're speaking on this, aren't you? You know, here's an opportunity for you to actually put it into practice. Because I'm sitting there thinking, I cannot make these cars move. And if I don't get there on time, I miss the appointment. I have no idea what's going to happen. And actually that discipline of saying, I'm going to have to let go of the need to be in control of this situation to have peace. I'm going to have to say, look, God, I left in enough time. You know what I need. I'm going to trust it to you. I did make it. It was all fine. So that was good. But Jesus is better than the things that make us feel safe because he's actually in control. Unlike often we want to be in control, but it's our control of the situation is only limited at best. Jesus cannot be snatched away. I think that's such a big thing. You know, you might have health, but tomorrow you might find that you don't. You know, you might have financial security, but people's finances can be gone overnight. You know, there is so many things that we put our security in that can just go like that without, you know, with any negligence on our part. They can just be snatched away. So that, again, just brings us so much worry. But if Jesus is our security, we don't need to worry. He can't be snatched away. And one thing that really struck me is so much of our security we like to feel safe, so we get this thing, but then we need to protect it. So, okay, so I've got money, which enables me to feel safe, but now I need to have insurance to protect the money that I have. Or I'm healthy, but now I need to also have this really healthy lifestyle and make sure that I never eat carbohydrates or, you know, whatever the thing might be. So suddenly, the job to protect the thing that's supposed to be keeping us safe becomes a full-time job. But actually, if we find our security in Jesus, then we're able to step out into the dangerous situations, into the unknown, because we know that he's with us. We know, like Russ was saying, how the story ends. So just have a think, you know, do your securities actually release you, or do they constrain you because you're trying to protect them? So Jesus is a better safety. What sets you free? I wasn't going to put this in, but I felt God's prompting that this might be... might be helpful for some one or two people here. So this is about how you deal with your baggage, your failures, your guilt. How do you face up to the fact that you aren't perfect? So I think there's a variety of ways that we do this. One is this idea of atonement, of making up. So when I mess up, I try and do a load of good stuff to outweigh it, to kind of balance it out. So I'm trying to compensate, or I somehow try and punish myself. You know, God, I ate too much yesterday. Right, I'm not going to have any puddings for a month. You know, kind of, I'm trying to pay the price for my failure. Sometimes we just deny it, or we make excuses. Well, I know I did that, but I have this issue, I was in this situation, it's been a bad week, you know, whatever it might be. We try and excuse what we've done. Or we look at other people and say, well, I know I did this, but look at them. At least I'm doing better than those guys. So again, how is Jesus better? Well, Jesus completely sets us free. The whole price is paid. I don't need to start trying to make up for my guilt because Jesus has paid for it on the cross. It is gone. I can be free. So if you are carrying that sense of guilt, you know, things from your past, things that you've done, if you bring that to Jesus, that gets taken away. You know, and there's nothing in this world that can offer that. And it frees us as well that we can be honest about our failures. I don't need to pretend that I'm perfect. It's okay that I make mistakes, that I screw up, that I do things that I shouldn't do. That's not the path I want to continue to walk in, but I don't need to pretend that that's not the reality because God knows that's the reality and I can bring those things to him and he helps me deal with them. So Jesus is... And also, just thinking in terms of when we've really messed up relationships and things like that, the power that God has to restore in relationships is incredible. You know, the way that he can change hearts. So Jesus is a better person to set you free. And finally, what is your treasure? So these are the things that we pursue. These are the things that we rejoice in. These are the things that motivate us, that we love to talk about. These are the things that we sacrifice for. So the kind of the churchy word for that is worship. But we sacrifice the things that we willingly give up time or energy or money to be able to do these things. That those are the things that are our treasure. So that might be a hobby, you know, it might be a sport that you're passionate about, music that you enjoy listening to or playing. Might be stuff on TV, might be fashion, might be reading, might be travel, you know, whatever. These things that when we're doing it, when we're talking about it, we come alive. And those are the things that we worship. It might be relationships. It might be our work. It might be our community. These are the things that make you want to get up in the morning. These are the things that when you're having a bit of a slog of a week that you're really looking forward to. At the end of this week, I get to do this thing. Those are the things that are our treasures. I can leave that up. So Jesus is a better treasure. So many of the treasures, they promise a lot, but they don't deliver as much as they promise. So many of them are fleeting. You know, they're good for a while, but they don't last. Jesus actually is the greatest joy that we can experience. Jesus is the greatest hope that we can have. If we just think about some of these other things, how many of our treasures rescue and restore us? How many of our treasures bring us security? How many of our treasures bring us value and belonging? How many of our treasures set us free? You know, they might all be good things, but none of them are on the scale of Jesus. So Jesus is better than whatever else we might put in this box. Does that mean that I'm saying that all of those things are bad and we should feel bad about enjoying TV, clothes, sport, music? No. Those things are all good things, but this is about having the right thing in the right place. So it's okay to give thanks for those things. It's okay to find enjoyment in those things. It's okay to find refreshment in those things. It's okay to find some sense of security in those things. But if we're finding our hope and our joy and our security in those things ahead of Jesus, then that's a good thing in the wrong place. Okay? We've got a good thing, a slide, in the wrong place. Okay? The problem is not the slide. The problem is where it is. Okay? And I hope no one is too offended by this. Again. It's a good thing. We are all very grateful for toilets, but it's in the wrong place. So that's how I want us to think of these things. They are good things, but if we're finding our hope and our joy in them ahead of Jesus, they're in the wrong place. And that is going to cause pain, discomfort, embarrassment, all of those things. Now, I think when we hear a lot of that, it can sometimes be challenging and not always in a good way. Sometimes we can hear that and go, oh, actually, I'm not a very good Christian. You know, as soon as I'm struggling, I just go and watch box sets, or I just go and play pool or whatever it might be. But I really, really want to say to you today, do not receive this as a condemnation. Is Jesus better? This is not a condemnation. This is an invitation. So when you see your life and your experience, and then you see this, the devil wants you to hear, you should be over here, you're a failure. Do not listen to that. This is an invitation. This is God saying, you're here, but here's where I want to take you. Here's where you could go. So I just want to go back over some of these things. Actually, I've got an illustration. I need two volunteers. Again, liking chocolate, and especially of the cake variety, would be helpful at this point. Sorry? It does have chocolate. Brilliant. Anya. Excellent. So, Tesco Finest. It was on offer, because I'm a cheapskate. I would like you to describe this cake, please, to everybody. I'll also give you the box, so you've got all of the information.
What, you want me to read
out
all this as well?
Well, no, I want you to give them a sense of this cake. You can use any of that or not.
Extremely unhealthy and delicious. Probably about 2.5 inches tall, maybe.
Oh, thanks, Russ.
Okay, it's very chocolatey. It's got grated chocolate on the top, very gooey stuff. Can I have that, please? Very gooey chocolate on the top, about 2 inches thick. Extremely unhealthy, as I said, but absolutely delicious. What else does it say on here? It is the finest chocolate cake, lots and lots of chocolate. And that's really it. It's just a big pile of chocolate.
Brilliant.
And it's delicious. Sorry.
Thank you very much. Okay, you can sit down now.
Thank you.
And yeah, I'm going to ask you the same question. I'd like you to describe this cake. There we go. I should have brought two plates for this, really, shouldn't I?
Got the sound effects of the eating.
That would be good.
Yeah.
This is the point I realised that bringing some wipes would have been a good idea.
She's really going for it.
Brilliant. So, Anya, would you describe the cake, please?
Yeah, after you finish the marathon.
Oh, where's the fun in that?
It's really nice.
Anything else?
It's very tasty, and it's chocolatey and sticky.
Brilliant. I've just remembered I don't know your name. Debbie. Now, Debbie probably gave you more information about the cake, and I don't think that Anya actually told you anything that Debbie didn't tell you. But who do you think knows that cake the best? Yeah. So there's this. Thanks, Anya. That's great. There's this. I don't need both mics, do I? I'm getting confused. This verse in Psalm 34 that says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him." Taste and see, because so often we get to the level of truth and we stop there. But actually, truth isn't enough. Truth is important, but it's not sufficient. We need to go deeper than the truth into the experience. So I imagine there's a lot that I've said today that isn't new information to you, but the question for us to ask actually is Jesus better in my life? And how do we know the answer to that? The answer is, well, where do we go when things are hard? Where do we find that sense of security? Where do we look to? What are we dependent on for our sense of affirmation? You know, like we saw with the kids at the front, we want what is better. If we see something is better, we want it. So when we're in that situation, where we go, that is what we think is better. And this is where this idea of the invitation comes in, that where we see a disparity there between where we are and where we could be, for us not to sit in that place of condemnation, but this is a place of invitation. So I'm just going to go through some of these things again and read out what this could look like, what the invitation is. So what helps and restores you? Imagine being free from working to satisfy others or your own expectations. Imagine being able to stop, even when there's things still done, and actually rest. Imagine being able to find rest in the middle of chaos, and a rest that actually restores you. Imagine having a friend and a comforter who knows you and is able to comfort you and strengthen you and pick you up. What about your sense of identity? Imagine not having to worry about what others think about you. Imagine not having to strive to impress people. Imagine being free to celebrate and actually enjoy others' successes. Imagine not having to prove yourself to feel okay about yourself. Imagine knowing, whatever's going on, that you are deeply loved. Yeah, this is an amazing thing. What about what makes you feel safe? Imagine being free from worry and anxiety. Imagine being able to face the future without having to know what it holds. Imagine not having to feel the need to control or protect everything. Imagine being able to step out into the unknown. I'm hoping that these invitations are sounding good. What sets you free? Imagine being free from guilt. Imagine being free from the baggage. Imagine being able to be honest about yourself and who you are. And where is your treasure? Imagine pursuing a treasure that is worth everything. Imagine your relationship with Jesus bringing you more joy and satisfaction than the most joy and satisfaction that anything brings you at the moment. We heard some stories at Open Doors this week about a pastor in Southeast Asia who was attacked by a local mob. They came into his house and they attacked him with knives and left him in a pool of blood on the floor. He was in such a bad state that he managed to make it to his neighbor's house to ask for help, and his neighbor saw him and fainted. He ended up getting to hospital. They said they didn't think he was going to survive, but after 8 days he was back out. But the thing that was amazing in hearing this story was his children said, "We want to be missionaries. We want to walk that path." Imagine finding a treasure that is so good that you say, even if that is the cost, I want to pursue it. There's nothing else in this world that will make that kind of offer to you, that will be able to do that. You know, Jesus is better. But the challenge for us is how this becomes our reality, because like that illustration with the cake, a lot of the time we know the truth, but we don't experience the reality. So this is why God gives us his Holy Spirit. There's some verses in Philippians where it said, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." So he's saying not just that God enables you to do these things, but actually God works in your heart. He works to change your perspective. He works to change your desires. The point that he's taken you to is the point where actually you can do what you want because what you want is good. So it is God making this invitation. It is by his Spirit that this change happens in our life. So I'm just going to pause at this point and give us 5 minutes. We'll hopefully have some music just playing quietly. But just for you to think, of those things that we've talked about, I'll see if I can get them back up. Clicker's not working. Actually, Taylor, is it possible to have that and then the music just playing but without the video on the screen? Perfect. So we'll leave this up. We're just going to have 5 minutes. There'll be a quiet song playing in the background. But just for you and God, what are the areas where God's saying, I've got this invitation for you? You're finding your security here. You're going here for your rest. But I've got something better for you. Just let God speak to you. Let him show you what are the areas where he wants to make that invitation. And for you to begin to say, okay, God, I want to accept that invitation. I don't know quite what that looks like. But I want to accept it. So, I'm remembering this. We don't accept this invitation by our ability or our determination. This is a work of God's Spirit. This is a work of his grace. So we'll have this 5 minutes and for you to think with God.
Jesus is better, make my
Okay, we're going to have a time in a minute to be able to respond to some of this. In terms of the everyday missionaries part of this, I don't really want to say much more than imagine what it would look like if, as a church, we went out and lived the lives that we're living, but with that Jesus is better reality in our life. Think how many people we're going to see and interact with over the next week, just from those in this room. And they all need that message just as much as we do. You know, think what that would look like. Are we willing for God to use us? We're going to share a couple of testimonies as well. Sadly, both the people who are sharing testimonies aren't here. Kathy Carter is at Sunday Fun, and Carol is at home with the kids. So Carol has sent a video, which we'll watch in a minute. But I'm just going to read this testimony from Kathy Carter. So last Mission Sunday, we were praying about, again, God challenging us to step out. And she said she felt that she prays, but she felt God challenging her to actually speak to people. So she says, after the last Mission Sunday in November, we prayed in a small group, and I felt I'd be more likely to speak to someone in a particular group of people the next day. We had a good conversation. She said that she'd had a dream, and after that, she knew what she should do. And God dropped a word into my mind, and I said, many people in the Bible had dreams, and after that, they knew what they should do. And I was really trying to encourage her to share it. I was trying to get her to do a video, and she was quite reticent about it. She was saying, you know, but it's not a big story. You know, I don't even know if she fully understood. But I think I was saying to her, but what's so encouraging is that you were obedient. You felt God leading and you stepped out. So I've got this picture, the iceberg of obedience. So at the top here, we have this amazing testimony, which people sometimes will get to stand up and share. Something incredible that God's done. But what we don't see beneath the surface is the obedience, the prayer, the sacrifice, the faithfulness. And actually, that's the starting point. So let's not worry about, am I going to have an amazing testimony? Is God going to do something incredibly miraculous this week? Actually, let's start with, God, what's the next step of obedience? Because we can all do that. We don't need to say, but God, I haven't got this gift, that gift, this opportunity, that opportunity. God, I've got this week. I've got my job. I've got my family. I've got the people in my community. The things that I need to do. Show me how I can share you in that. God doesn't use the gifted, he uses the available. Will you be available this week? If we could play the video from Carol.
Good morning, church family. I'm sorry not to be with you this morning. I'm at home looking after my very precious but rather poorly little boy. So thank you, Russ, for stepping in at the last minute to lead the service. I just want to share a story with you this morning about something that's been happening in Quest. So you've probably heard about Quest, which is the first Sunday of every month. It takes place over in the Windrush Hall for all reception-age children. And it's a sort of holiday club-style morning and perfect for inviting your friends along to. So Grace has invited a group of her friends who've been coming along every month, which has been really exciting, and they absolutely love it and are always asking when the next one is. And after the last Quest in January, Jenny Kane texted me that afternoon. Jenny runs Quest. She's amazing, by the way. She texted me to say, I really think we need to do a follow-up group with these girls. I think we need to go deeper with them. And I thought, you know, she's absolutely right. And that thought hadn't even crossed my mind. But they're nearing the end of year six. They're nearing the end of their time in Quest. They're about to head off to secondary school. We really need, you know, we want to start going a bit deeper with the Bible stuff with them. But I'm ashamed to say that I had no faith for it at all. I was really worried about asking the girls and asking their parents, thinking, I'm not sure they're going to want to come to, you know, normal church. But I was wrong, and every single one of them said yes. All the girls were excited to come. Every set of parents said, yep, tell me where to bring them, tell me where to drop them off. Sounds absolutely great, thank you. And I was blown away. And so 2 weeks ago, Grace was here with her group of friends. They came along to the service and they went out to a group which Jenny Kane had just planned and led amazingly. It was spot on. And it was such a pleasure to see Grace teaching her friends how to read the Bible, how to find the book of Luke, and just exploring who Jesus was and what he'd done for us. So yeah, I didn't have the idea. I certainly didn't have the faith. But God is at work, and it's just an absolute pleasure to share with these girls. So we do ask you for your prayers, please, to pray for salvation, to pray that they would stay keen to come back. You know, we're planning to do sort of Quest and then discipleship as a rolling thing. Thank you. Good morning.
She wanted me to mention that Quest isn't primary, it's all of primary school, but we wasn't worth recording it, re-recording it for that. So again, just want to encourage you, what relationships are you already in? What people are you already involved with where you can bring that gift of Jesus is better? But obviously, if we don't have it for ourselves, then it's very hard to share, because if we don't have it for ourselves, all we can share is the information, okay? And we want the reality of it. So if I could ask Cedric and the band to come back up, we're going to have a time of response now. So they'll be singing some songs, but this is a time, if God is speaking to you, if there's stuff here that God has put on your heart that he's highlighted and that you're wanting to respond to, then this is a good opportunity for that. We've got a while before we need to go and pick kids up or anything like that. If you want to come out and have someone pray with you, that's fine. If you want to ask any other people around you to pray with you, if you just want to sit quietly and respond to God, then do that. This is an invitation, but it's of no benefit to us if we don't start to open it. And it's not something that's going to get sorted in 5 minutes. You know, this is a lifestyle that we need to learn to walk in with God's Spirit. And this is a journey that we're all on. But each step that we say yes to God is a step closer to that point that he's wanting to take us. So Cedric and the band are going to lead. Respond to how God's leading you. And I think Russ will come and close in a bit. If it would be helpful for anybody, I've got some printouts just with the 5 questions. And I've got some printouts that have got sort of the more detailed bits. So I'll leave those down here. Come and grab one if it's useful. I'll just pray for us as we go into this time of response. Jesus, I thank you so much that you are better, not just in theory, but in practice. And Lord, we want to be walking in that reality, Lord. We want to be experiencing the security that only you can bring. We want the rest that comes from you. We want the joy of having you as our greatest treasure, Lord. We want to know your freedom, and we want the peace of knowing that we are loved by you. Jesus, because we want to be a people who glorifies your name. I thank you that we don't need to pretend that we don't have struggles, that we don't have to pretend that we don't mess up. But I pray, Jesus, as we learn to walk this path, as we do this together in community, in family, Jesus, that people would see us and they would see normal people, but who've been given an extraordinary gift, Lord. I pray that people would look at us as a community and say, wow, their God is amazing. Amen.